Hi guys, I'm Alan.
And I'm Callum.
And you're listening to this week's episode of What's Now with Alan and Callum, brought to you in partnership with Darrow.org.uk, Scotland's only Creative Commons website. This week we are talking comics. That's where where it landed.
Yeah.
Where the wheel of podcasting landed this week, it was comics.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we kind of discuss our favourites, kind of like specific artists and writers. And then just kind of fizzle out at the end. But it's fine, because, you know, not every time
can't strike gold all the time.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's the podcast. And enjoy, guys.
Enjoy.
Now, did you want to talk about comics?
I have definitely not done enough preparation to talk about comics.
But you've read comics.
I've read comics, yeah, but like I don't know... I just worry that it would be like a really superficial conversation. You know what I mean? Like,
every conversation about comics? Either like the more acceptable kind, where it's superficial, or the like horrendously nerdy kind,
Batman actually,
super in depth and like off putting for the vast majority of people.
Yeah. No, we can talk about comics, yeah.
I've started like, I found that I really enjoy talking. Talking about comics to people that don't know anything about comics, because they'll ask me once people figure out I know a lot about comics, they'll like start asking questions about comics, and I'll just say things, and then they'll be like, "Oh, but is this not the case?" I'm like, "No, you're definitely wrong." Like, and here's why. Yeah. Like, it's quite funny.
Yeah.
Like, so normally, you would think nobody would enjoy that, but I find it quite amusing.
It entertains me.
Because I think like the other day at work, people were asking me about like Thor's hammer.
Yeah.
And like how
kind of worms.
Who can lift it and stuff like that. And somebody was like, "Oh, can the Hulk no lift it?" And I'm like, "No, come on." And somebody said like, "Oh, then there was like people were talking about Superman and why Superman's really boring."
Yeah.
Superman is really boring. And they were like, "Oh, because he's only weak to like kryptonite." And I'm like, "But I'm magic."
Yeah.
And I'm like, "What?" And I'm like, "And also magic."
See, nobody knows about magic.
And they were like, "What do you mean, like?" And I'm like, "Well, anybody magic based could be up." And I was like, "So like Thor, hypothetically."
Would so if be you able like matched up Thor and Superman.
And it's like really, and I was like, "Yeah." It's like, "What about the Hulk? Could the Hulk fight him?" And I'm like, "Well, the Hulk could fight him, right?" He's like, "Oh, but the Hulk would win, right?" And I'm like, "No."
Nah.
It's like, "How no? The Hulk's strong." And I'm like, "No, you're wrong."
No.
And here's why.
Yeah.
It's quite funny.
That's funny. Yeah, I think, that's the thing. Because I think to outsiders, I think, and I mean, it is to some extent, but comics seem like this really kind of like arcane thing, you know what I mean? Where it's like, there's all this like knowledge and all this information and stuff that's like kind of just out of reach for people. So when, like you say, when you start talking to people about it, it's like, folk are just like, like you're some kind of like shaman who just like
particularly now this... when it's like popular to like them, you know what I mean, and like know a lot about them, as opposed to many years ago when it was like uncool to like them and sort of like nerdy.
Things change,
like... but at the same time, it's still kind of like, I don't know, I find it frustrating to a point, because it's like things like Big Bang Theory and stuff made like nerd culture really like popular and stuff. Nerd culture in massive inverted commas there. But it's like, and people are always like, "Oh, I'm like a total geek
I'm such a
nerd."
Geek. Yeah.
And then you ask them a question that a geek would know the answer to, and it's like nothing. It's like, "Oh wait, I see. You're a fan of the Big Bang Theory." You're a fan of the Big Bang Theory or, like, the Marvel films.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with being a fan of the Marvel films, but there should be, like, another word for people like that.
Yeah, I think it's, like, it's not even, I don't know, because it has permeated pop culture in such a way. I think, like, also you like the Big Bang Theory, you like, going to see Marvel films at the cinema, you're like a normal person,
basically.
You know what I mean?
You're just you're on the cusp of pop culture.
Yeah,
you're riding the sort of crest of the wave.
Definitely not like a like
you're
a
not
nerd,
a nerd because it's like, well,
because you go in and
the
you
Big
watch...
Bang Theory is and it's like 90th series or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, it is not the underdog show anymore. You know what I mean? It's like, it's a very popular TV show, you know what I mean? It was one of the sort of only real, multi-camera sitcoms for a while.
Yeah. When they weren't really making. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, I get what you mean. It's like, that is just like normal now. Yeah. That is the new normal.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's it. Exactly. And I think though, a distinction as well is like, if you come out of the cinema having seen a movie, like it was a superhero movie, and you go, oh, that was a good movie. Mm. And your pal's like, that was a good movie. Then you're not a nerd or a geek.
No.
Because you would just be like, oh, wasn't that an awesome movie? You'd be like, yeah, that was an awesome movie, but
yeah,
let's discuss.
Yeah, exactly. Because you can't just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Because that's like, you or I will go and see a film, and then like you ask, well, that was good. It's kind of like a dip your toe in kind of question, and then suddenly it's this big conversation. Yeah. Like, oh, but like, did you like this and that? And what about this bit? That sort of thing.
I think this is like a wider, like culturally, I think this is like a wider, like you say, the idea of the new normal, like that all these things are kind of mainstream now, that like being into, like air quotes, into comics, mm-hmm. And stuff, and like all this kind of like nerd culture and things like this, they're making like total action blockbusters that are like Star Trek and stuff like that. Yeah. It's like, it's like, that makes me sad mentioning it, but I think it feeds into a wider thing, because I was out and about today, man of our town,
twirling your moustache, walking my cane,
and I was seeing like I could see kids like leaving school, and it was like, load, like, we all the kids.
It's
got a conclusion. Okay. That's not weird. Yeah.
Hope this wasn't it. I was standing outside a school. No,
I was passing like a stream of kids that were leaving a school, right? And I was looking at, like, I could see all the people leaving, and I was like, obviously the guys in particular, because that's the more, like, my experience was at school, but like the things that we're wearing, and like the way they were dressed, and like the kind of haircuts they had and stuff, I was like, I was you, except when I was at school, I was being like bullied mercilessly for looking like that and being into those things. But now it's like they're all like that, and I'm like, now I'm just an old man, and I've had my time, and they're all like, I'm not an old man, by the way, but now
come on.
It's like when you were saying about traveling before you started, and you wake up and
see that in your eyes.
You wake up and you're 26. That's older than you are, right?
You wake up in your age.
You wake up and you're calm. But you know what I mean. Yeah, idea that this is all mainstream now, and it's like. Yeah.
But that is a good thing. That's not a bad thing, that like,
I'm just
kids,
better,
yeah, you're better because you were bullied at school. I know what you mean though, because it's like, I like, you know what I mean, if you ever see like, I do like occasional work in schools and stuff, and like you see certain kids, and you're like, that would never have happened when I was at school. Like,
not at all, yeah.
And like, even, imagine like, even further back than that, Jesus.
Yeah. Very odd.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, what's the new maligned kind of subculture?
Well, probably a lot of things.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know, maybe not in like somewhere like Scotland.
Nah.
As much. You know what I mean? Like, obviously.
Yeah.
Yes, obviously there will be your more like undesirable kind of people. Mm. But I always find that these days that's more like a generational thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like older people are the more like bigoted or whatever. Yeah, but that's because that's like all they've known.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not excusing it, but
you could see
kind of why.
Yeah.
Whereas like nowadays it's kind of like there's more like an acceptance culture.
Yeah, definitely.
Certainly here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Obviously you look at places like America and stuff like that, and it's totally different. Which is quite interesting. What were some of the comics?
And then we just started ratting on the Big Bang Theory.
Rambling about school. comics.
Yes. It was Free Comic Book Day a while ago.
Free Comic Book
Day?
At that shop?
No, well, a holiday. It's like a holiday. Free Comic Book Day.
Where you get a free comic.
Where if you go to, like, they do, like, free... they give out like free comics.
I didn't know that.
Like what? I can't remember the date, but it's like a day every year. They get they do a free comic book day. They do like and like Marvel and DC, and they do comics specifically for free comic book day.
Oh, rubbish!
So it's like because like the one I got was it was Captain America.
Oh right.
But it was it was like a new run of like Sam Wilson Captain America.
Nobody wants that.
And it was like. And I was reading it just because like I got this free, so I'll read it. And it was obviously like they give you issue like zero and like free comic book day issue zero in the hopes that you'll buy into Sam Wilson Captain America the series. You know what I mean?
I don't not like Sam Wilson Captain America because they are race issue by the way. Before anybody like
it's a purely
Steve Rogers is Captain America, right?
But
I didn't even like Bucky as Captain America. Yeah. So
I was like flipping. I was flipping through this. I actually got it when it was when I went to that Comic Con.
Oh, right. Actually.
Yeah, they were giving them out. But I was flipping through it, and it was a really hilariously kind of like zeitgeisty story in the comic because it's. It basically. I think he's like avenging off the books, and he goes to like Arizona, and there's these like Sons of the Serpent. like xenophobic. Like, kind of Minutemen, Border Patrol style people who are trying to, like, who are harassing these, like, Mexican immigrants and stuff. And so, obviously, he goes to, like, shut them down. And then, in the very last page of the comic, the very last page of the issue, like, Steve Rogers turns up with, like, S.H.I.E.L.D. and, like, shuts him down. It's like, he's now, like, old and haggard, and he's, like, he's not Captain America anymore. It's just, like, a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent or whatever. And I was just like, this is like, A, it's really funny because it's like taking a total knock at like the whole kind of like Donald Trump thing and all these kind of like, all that kind of stuff. And then just like the idea of like Steve Rogers turning into this total like crotchety old, like, oh, stop what you're doing, son, was really funny.
See, when you were describing that premise there as well, I have a comment. Which I'm pretty sure is that exact same premise. That's also a Captain America comic, but it's Steve Rogers.
Really?
Yeah. That's until funny. The very end. Like that premise is almost identical. Yeah. It's like he goes to some like backwoods American town and saves some like minorities for like a like xenophobic
classic
group.
Captain America. How the tables have turned.
Yeah, yeah. It's like exactly the same. It's quite funny.
That's funny. But no, that free comic book day, you should I say, all the comic books you get are always...
Nah.
They usually, like, stores and stuff, retailers usually run, like, a lot of discounts on the day and stuff as well, which is good, but...
It'll be like that time I bought that grab bag in Forbidden Planet. Like, I bought, like, a wrapped-up mystery bag.
Potentially the most hilarious bag of, like, Misfit comics ever.
Of, like, three comics that were, like, a complete surprise for £5. I was like, that's only £5. Yeah, that seems reasonable. And those comics were not worth £5.
What were they again? It was...
I've got... there is, I'm not going to be able to remember the writer or the artist.
Yeah,
names,
you remember
right?
The title at least,
but there was one called Marked Man.
Yes.
Which was about, like, this hitman who was leading, like, a double life for his family. And then his family get killed at the start of it, and then he goes out for revenge. It's rubbish.
Is he the one that's got, like...
No, that's the next
one. Alright, okay, yeah.
The next one was called Malignant Man.
That's the one, yeah.
Which was about some guy with cancer and superpowers.
But the cancer, like, gave him superpowers.
Yeah. It's also really rubbish.
Yeah, as bad as it sounds.
And then, if those two weren't bad enough, the kicker was one called Marine Man.
It was
Man.
Like an M-themed rap bag. It was ridiculous.
The one called Marine Man. Which is like, and if that's like, is that not just Aquaman?
Yeah.
It was just Aquaman, but hilariously worse.
Yeah.
Because it was like, I think the premise was something along the line, and the thing was, what I did with these comics, as soon as I got them, I looked at them and I was like, these are all going to be rubbish.
Yeah.
I have no, because I thought, maybe I'll get a Marvel one, or maybe I'll get a DC
one.
I'll get like whatever was in the bins or in the back. And I was like, right, I'll put these on sale online. And I did not read any of them until I got the order in buying them. So like as soon as somebody bought them, I would really quickly read it and then post it off. So the only reason I read all of these was just because folk were buying them.
Yeah.
So I don't have them anymore, thankfully.
Did you not make a profit?
I made a profit, I sold them off for a lot more. The marine one was something along the lines of, is this guy who's basically Aquaman.
Yeah.
Who is like a celebrity because he like pretends he's human and he like does all these like aquatic kind of wildlife shows.
Yeah.
Sort of thing, like a Steve Irwin type guy, right? But he lives in like some sort of government facility kind of thing. And it's because the government know he's like superpowered. And then he's doing that superpower stuff and he gets revealed to the world as being a superhero, essentially.
Being a marine man.
As being a marine man. And it turns out the like secret origin of him is that he's the guy that he thinks his father is not his father. He's actually a Nazi experiment. He was like some sort of Nazi like Übermensch like creation. Who washed up on like the shore of a beach and was adopted by his like parents, and the end has like a lot of like weird like Nazi Aquaman like Nazi frogmen kind of like fighting him and stuff. It's so bad, but amusing if nothing else. Enough. The thing is, I felt really bad with that one because it's a really bad comic, and like I read the back of it. In the back of it, like, it's a really thick issue.
Yeah.
And it's not all comic. It's, like, most of it is comic. And then there's, like, a big chunk of it at the back that's variant covers.
Oh,
and then, like, biographies of all the people involved. Complete with pictures.
Oh,
so it's, like, obviously I didn't go as far as reading these biographies. Yeah. But I read the comic. I was like, I didn't like this.
Yeah.
But then... I started feeling really sorry for no liking it for the artist because now he has a face, now he's a real person,
it's like being humanised.
It's like I don't really care if I don't like a Brian Michael Bendis comic because I don't know what he looks like, so as far as I'm concerned, he doesn't exist, right?
Just a name.
But like, you know what I mean? If I ever see him,
No,
I like Brian Michael Bendis, he's alright.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was quite a funny experience. I have always been tempted to, if it's ever run again by Forbidden Planet, just go in and buy another one just to see what crap I get this time.
Speaking of that Comic-Con, there was a signed, like, Marine Man print.
Oh, wow. You
like,
should have bought me.
Like, there was a stall, like, selling it.
For
and
a
I was
cruel
like,
joke.
How is this worth, like, a signed print existing? Yeah. You know what I mean? But, yeah. What was I going to say when you mentioned Bendis? What did you say? What was I going to say, rather? I had an anecdote, but I totally lost
it. About Brian Michael Bendis?
Yeah.
Have you met him?
No, I haven't met him, no. I haven't seen his face either.
I've heard his voice. Listened to a podcast with him on it. It's just a voice, eh?
What's the latest thing he's done? Is Alias finished up or is it still ongoing?
Alias?
Yeah.
Oh, that finished ages
ago.
Yeah. Now, that like, what happened with that is, it was like the Marvel Max imprint.
Yes. Yeah.
And then, because she became so popular, they integrated her into, like, actual Marvel comics. And she had the next series she was in was called The Pulse, but it was, like, not as good.
Right.
Because, obviously, it's like part of what made Alias really good is because it's quite edgy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and there's a lot of swearing. Yeah. And stuff. I mean, the swearing doesn't make it. But you know what I mean? It's like there's a dark kind of grit.
It's like more adult themes.
Yeah, yeah. But that was like, what, 2003 or something like that?
It must be. Is it the collected editions I'm thinking about? Maybe finishing coming out? I don't know.
But then, the Pulse came out after that, and the Pulse is kind of naff.
Yeah.
Because she goes to work for, like, the Daily Bugle.
Oh, right.
As like a kind of superhuman correspondent kind of thing. In this like pull-out magazine called The Pulse. That's rubbish.
Doesn't sound as good.
No, it's nowhere near.
The pitch doesn't sound as good, no, because David Mack, who the artist who did the variant covers for the Alias collected editions, did the variant covers for the Fight Club 2 comic.
All right. Which I is it finished yet?
Yeah, that's finished up.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah. The covers are like really beautiful. Like it's that kind of watercolor style, Dave and Max stuff. But I'd realized I was reading an interview with them because I really love his art style. I was reading an interview with him, and he did obviously did the Alias covers, and he actually did the titles for the Jessica Jones Netflix show.
Really?
Yeah, you know it's that kind of painterly. Yeah. I saw he mentioned it. And I looked into that, and like I went onto the website for the titles company that did it, and like he worked with them, and they shot a load of footage, and he did a load of paintings,
right.
And basically they like overlaid like loads of his paintings over the footage and like blended it all together.
That's
so
cool.
And they actually had him do like brush strokes and stuff that then they like composited over to make the titles.
Is that company's the one that did the True Detective title as
yeah,
well, right?
Yeah.
Because they did True Detective and Daredevil and
yeah.
Jessica Jones. And what's the other one? They did another Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
They did the Game of Thrones
yeah.
One.
But I thought that was really interesting.
They're good at their jobs.
And he also did, because he's an artist and an illustrator, and when I was going down this kind of rabbit hole as you do when you're like reading up things, he did the end credits to the Winter Soldier as well.
Oh,
and I was like, they were really amazing, like that kind of stylized, kind of cut out style end credits. And I was like, ah, that's really cool. Yeah, so David Mack is like a really...
Is he like, has he done art for like a full comic?
Because of his style, I think he tends to do more like covers because it's quite intense.
Yeah,
I think the workflow is... But he's done a couple of like books of his own work. Like there's one called Dream Logic that he did, which is like paintings and drawings and stuff of his. I'm not sure if he's, I'm maybe doing him a disservice, maybe he has done a full comic, but I'm not sure. Like I say, because the work takes so long, it's probably more covers and stuff. But
who's your favourite like comic book artist?
Frank Miller. No, I'm kidding. and writer. comic book artist and writer.
Oh.
My favourite, like, white power comic book artist and writer. No. I like Leno Yu.
Yeah, Leno Yu is good.
And... Yeah. Who else?
Well, the all-star team, Leno Yu and Mark Millar.
I like Leno Yu's artwork.
Mark Millar sometimes.
Mark
right?
Millar
I'll
occasionally.
I'll say sometimes, because sometimes he does do something.
Mark Millar, up until the last issue of any comic he's ever written.
Yeah, there you go.
Done. Yeah, Leno Yu's stuff, I like.
Yeah, Leno Yu's good.
Who else? Who else do I really like? Who would you say?
I have a few like I like. I like obviously I really like Alex Ross.
Yeah.
I think his stuff's really cool.
Yeah,
it's like
a really
it's
amazing.
Like you're saying about that
it's a really intense
process
thing. Though, yeah.
But the way he does it is just so interesting because he actually like takes photos of people in positions and then paints them and stuff. It's
like takes
really
a lot
cool.
of reference photos, yeah. So like a lot of the frames you see.
Yeah.
Like some of those kind of like really iconic frames.
But
I've all been like posed with people. It's
totally,
really
it's so cool. Like when you, because I think if you read like Marvel's, at the end of that, you get like some of the actual photos, like the test photos are used, and like same with Kingdom Come as well.
Kingdom Come
is so good.
Yeah, that's like
so is Marvel's. Have you read Marvel's?
I've not read Marvel's.
Marvel's
nah.
is really good. It's like an interesting conceit.
Yeah,
it's basically like the Marvel universe told for the perspective of like a photographer.
I have read this.
Yeah.
I was like, Marvels, but yeah, nah, that totally rings a bell now, yeah.
Yeah, it's well good.
It's that kind of like street level
perspective
on like all these massive...
It's all these like iconic bits in the Marvel universe, but it's like told for like a horrifying perspective.
Oh
like, Jesus, we're going to die.
Yeah. I love Kingdom Come.
Kingdom Come,
yeah. A really cool story. And just like that artwork as well, it's just,
the artwork really, like, makes it even better, you know what I mean? Like, because there's something, like, I don't know. You, like, you look at that art.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, that would not be as good a comic.
Nah,
if it was
nah,
anybody
nah.
else that like drew it.
Nah.
You know what I mean? Like if it was even like the best of artists.
Yeah.
It would not be as good as like, because it's so like real.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it gives it like this like epic.
Yeah.
Like, and obviously like this kind of, like almost like biblical weight to it with these kind of like really yeah. kind of. These kind of paintings and this artwork.
Yeah, when you like bits like, you know what I mean, like Superman pulling the big yeah. like massive hole thing yeah. in his like field and like Ooh. And like Shazam almost like brutally murdering Superman yeah. and stuff. It's like it's so cool.
When you talk about comic artwork that you could like take and put on your wall, Kingdom Come has got some of the like best frames for that.
Definitely,
you know, it's really kind of painterly.
Well, when I was young, like, this was, like, there was a place, this is how young I was, I don't even know where it was, but I remember seeing this massive, like, picture, and it was Alex Ross artwork.
Yeah.
And it was, like, a giant, like, really, like, wide, like, thing that you could put on your wall, yeah. and it was, like, all with, like, the sort of DC characters.
Yeah, I'm familiar with
it
the picture
was, like,
you mean, yeah.
It was, so cool. And I was so
Is that
young.
Them with them, like, all, like, lined up? Or is it with them all, like...
They're all kind of, like, Dune
yeah,
stuff,
yeah.
you know what I mean?
Because I think there's another one of his that's, like, them all, like, lined up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was, like I said, I was so young, I didn't remember where it was.
Yeah.
What age I was, but I remember
Just
that
remember
picture.
Being like, oh! Yeah.
It's been, like, the greatest thing I've ever seen. I like Alex Ross, and also I like him as much as his artwork's maybe a bit odd or that, I really like Tim Sale.
Aye.
Like who writes yeah. who does stuff for like Jeff Loeb, but that's because I really love like Jeff Loeb's work.
Yeah,
like I love like The Long Halloween's probably like one of my favourite, if not my favourite comic.
Yeah.
And I know that Tim Sale's artwork's a bit odd looking. You know what I mean? There is a weirdness to
yeah.
it, but I like that. You know
but
what
see,
I mean? Particularly with Batman.
Yeah.
Like, I've read... Have you read any of the, like, Marvel stuff that Loeb and Sale did? Because he did, like, Daredevil Yellow, Spider-Man
yes.
Blue,
Daredevil
Hulk
stuff,
Grey.
Yeah. None of the other stuff.
They're all good.
Yeah.
They are good. Like, even the Hulk one, I'm not really a big fan of Hulk, mm. but the Hulk one's good as well. Spider-Man one's probably the best, I would say.
Yeah.
But for, like, all the stuff he does with Batman, just so cool. Like, the terrifying nature of Batman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because like, he's always so big and, like, the cape is always so massive.
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean? Like, you get that thing that, like, I don't know, always seems lost at times with Batman is that, like, people are, like, more afraid of him than anything else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like you see pictures like the Tim Sale drawings, and I'm like, no, I could get
You're
it.
Like, you would be
afraid
of
this.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's, I think that's an example of, like, a really good match of not only writer, but, like, writer and story and artist, you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, some of that Batman stuff, yeah, it's, like, it's real, it's a really good mix, yeah.
But that being said, if we are talking about Batman, the current, like, I'm a wee bit annoyed that the DC are, like, rebooting their universe
yeah.
again. Because I've been, like, for the last couple of months, I've been reading, like, the new 52 Batman.
Yeah.
Like, the Scott Snyder, Greg Capullo,
yeah.
like, collected editions, and it's just amazing. It's, like, so good.
Yeah.
Like, I think I've said this before on the podcast, anyway, but I was, like, I picked up these Batman issues, being, like, always feeling, whenever I pick up a new Batman issue, that I've read the best ones, and
yeah.
they're never going to be ones
yeah.
that are as good, and these are just, like, so good as, like, the whole volumes.
Yeah.
Because that's like, what, I think that's like 9 volumes that I've got, or 8 volumes, like from 1 to 8.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not that the stories are brilliant, but it's like the fact that it's so, like, well woven together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you'll, like, read bits of it, and it's like, which is almost kind of like, I feel like maybe people are kind of like, afraid to do at times, and I could understand why you would be afraid to do this, but it's like there are bits for, like, the first issues that are still, like, relevant, and like the, like, latest ones
yeah.
and stuff, like, there are characters that keep recurring, and, like, everything that is woven together, like, so perfectly that the full, like, it starts off, you know what I mean, like, you get your story to start off with, And then they go back, like, they do sort of prequel sort of adventures that flesh out the world more, and then the whole thing just kind of knits together perfectly to create this, like, full, like, mythos. It's just so good.
I was setting up above us in, like, a load of boxes. There's, like, loads of the New 52 stuff for, like, the really early days, like Batman, Superman, Flash, Justice League stuff, Green Lantern stuff. And I, like, lost my way with it all, just because of the time, you know what I mean, the time of my life it was like I couldn't keep track of like 12 different series of DC comics at the time. But the New 52, that's again the sad news about, because that was the thing, it's like, oh, we're going to reboot it into the New 52 and it's all going to be like, it's all going to make sense and it's all going to be linked together and it's, you know what I mean, and it's going to inform what we do for the films and yada yada yada, and obviously they've lost their way a little bit, but I think it's sad to see that now they're just going to be like, oh no, we'll just
start again.
Hit the reset again. Switch again, yeah. Because that's the thing, it's like, when they did the New 52, and it was off the back of, like, Brightest Day, and then, like, Flashpoint and stuff like that, and then they were like, do the reboot and all that kind of stuff. It's like, that was like a massive, that was probably the biggest DC Comics event ever.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were like, and now they're just going to be like, oh, we're just going to, like,
start,
we do it again, so it feels a bit, it's a bit sad in that regard,
but. Yeah, so that, because obviously I'm enjoying it so much and I'm kind of like, it's a shame that it's just getting kind of thrown away.
Yes,
but at the same time it's like, well, I guess it's good that it will end,
yeah,
and it'll be like this wee self-contained story, you know what I mean, in the vein of, like, you know, Dark Knight Returns kind of esque sort of thing, but yeah, it's so good. I would, like, definitely recommend, like, keep him up with the Batman element here. Like,
I might look into.
I'll give you a shot at the issues.
Because, like I say, I just, other things took precedence, and I just lost track of it. And you know, it's, if you go in issue by issue, and you kind of start to fall behind, it's quite difficult to. You got to really wait till the collected edition.
Yeah, I always just go for the collected ones because it's like,
it makes a lot more sense and
financially as well.
Yeah,
but yes. I know that as well, like, a lot of the, like, New 52 stuff didn't pan out particularly well or wasn't well received, but that Batman stuff is great.
Yeah.
And it's like, as like you're saying, it's like a great combination of, like, story, artist and writer. Because, like, Greg Poole's art is, like, really cool as well. Because it's kind of like, it's good art, but it's also, it's got this kind of, like, freshness to the whole thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because it feels very modern.
Yeah.
It feels very, like, sleek, a lot of it. Who else is good?
I think there's a lot of, like, because there's a lot of comic book art that's, you know what I mean, I think there's, like, a baseline of comic book art, but there's a lot of artists who are quite similar.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's, like, there's, like, a comic book art style that's, like, quite widely practiced, and then you, like, we're talking about the couple of people like Len O. U, like Alex Ross, you know what I mean, some of these other artists who, like, kind of
have their own, like,
they do their own, like, stylistic kind of style,
that's very different. Who's your favourite, like, Batman? Like, to draw Batman?
Gosh. I don't know. That's a tricky one. See, it very much depends what you want from your Batman, because, like, to go back to what you were talking about before, it's like, do you want, like, a really gnarled, like, really terrifying...
Yeah, like a scary Batman.
Or do you want, like, a cleaner, like, sharper lines? I don't know. It's an interesting question. Yeah.
Because, like, my two favourite are very, like, are the exact two of
them. Yeah, yeah. See, that's what I was,
like,
thinking.
My two favourite are, like, Tim Sale's one, as I mentioned, but I also really like Jim Lee's one.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
See, Jim Lee's is,
that's
good.
Another, like, Jeff Loeb thing, though, because he wrote Hush with Jim Lee. Hush is great.
Yeah, Hush is good. Hush is, like, one of the classic Batman stories, yeah. Yeah, I don't know, Batman. Yeah, I think that's.
Did you ever read the Vampire trilogy? Like, no. The Doug Mensch? Nah. They're good. Like, the first one's good. They get progressively worse.
Yeah.
Really quickly. But, like, the first one is really cool. And in that, he's got, like, ginormous ears that are, like, so pointy.
I've seen, like pictures,
giant. very like, obviously, Elseworlds.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that is cool. I like it.
What's the Batman, not comics, but the Batman animated film that was like, oh God, I'm not going to be able to remember now. It's like a collection of like little Batman.
Oh, Gotham Knight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was speaking about this the other day with somebody actually.
That's really good.
It's a good film. Yeah.
Is that the one where it has the that's the one where it has where the different people see Batman and you get a different version.
It's kids. Discussing it.
They describe Batman. They tell these stories.
That's the exact thing I was talking about.
Tell these stories about seeing Batman and they all give these like
radically different
descriptions. And then in the end,
they see him.
They cross paths with him and he's like the Batman you know and love. Yeah. But like one of them describes him as like a kind of like Iron Man style thing. One of them gives like the vampire Batman kind of, because he like melts into the shadow and then reappears. And yeah, that's a really cool like animated. Yeah, that's really cool.
That was a bit, I was reading one of the ones recently actually, an issue. It was a Batman Eternal, which is Scott Snyder, but it's a different artist. It's no Greg Capullo. And there's a bit in that where it's like a kind of flashback. This girl who encounters Batman, she doesn't realise it, but it's like the daughter of a villain.
Yeah.
Who Batman comes to his house and like basically is going to bring him in.
Yeah.
And the daughter, when she's really young, goes into the room because she hears a disturbance. And she sees Batman like holding her dad up by like the scruff of his neck, and she sees her dad, but Batman is just this like mess of black with like this kind of like squirmy, swarmy quality, and like the dad convinces her she's just having a nightmare and go back to sleep, and she believes that.
Yeah.
But obviously, years later, she's like, "Oh, that was Batman." I was like, "Oh, that's so cool."
That is cool. Yeah.
That is a great film, though.
Yeah.
It's like it's really clever. Like that start bit, but a lot of it's really like even like the sort of ones that didn't have like as good hooks as that.
Yeah, because like, that's one, and then what's, because there's one that's got like Killer Croc.
Yes.
Yeah, and
there's one that's got Deadshot.
Yeah,
which is cool because that's where he's like he's invented some sort of like magnet repulsor magnet chest arc thing. And he decides to not use it because it can like people can get hurt in a ricochet.
Yeah, that's which is quite that's cool. The like because they're all done by different animators as well, aren't they?
Yeah.
That's the one
Kevin
that's
Conroy does the voice for all of them. But
that's the one that's kind of like a kind of like anime style. That one, the Deadshot one, right? That's the one that's the kind of because that's the one where he like sneaks on the boat and that.
I think so.
Yeah,
he's on a. It's like it ends on a train.
That's the same one. Yeah. But no, I remember, because they do a test, and it's like, I don't want anyone to get hurt by the... It's really effective, but like,
people could die. Yeah, so cool. Did you watch the recent, like, Dark Knight Returns animated film?
Nah.
That's good.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's got, like, Peter Weller.
Oh, really?
As Batman. Yeah,
that's cool.
It's cool.
Yeah.
I think somebody else is in it as well. The only guy who was in, like, Lost was the Joker. He's not very good, but...
Nah.
No, it's cool. Yeah, it's cool. It's a better film than Batman Superman.
The best DC movie is the opening cinematic for DC Universe Online.
That is so
remember
good.
With like the big apocalyptic
battle.
I remember
battle. When you first showed me that. That it's was like it's when essentially we first like, met, you showed me that.
It's like, essentially
this
like this like short film. Yeah. It's like this apocalyptic battle between like all the heroes and villains, and then Lex Luthor goes back in time. And it's such an amazing, like, I'm like,
so
make
cool.
that a movie.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, like with Superman getting that like spear through the chest and stuff, like Luthor killing him.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, because like Batman gets totally wiped out by the Joker, and who else dies in that? Loads of people die.
Yeah,
Flash
dies,
blows up.
Green Lantern dies. Yeah.
Because it's only like Black Adam's fighting Green Lantern.
Yeah.
And he's got his arm all like bandaged.
Like, Green Lantern's
like,
got like a green bandage on his arm, construct. And then like Black Adam like Shazam's Green Lantern as Flash is like running to stop him, and they all get blown up. And Deathstroke
ties up Batman and Joker bazookas both of them.
He's like, no one kills Batman but me, and then shoots them both.
crazy. And then, like, obviously Superman. Wonder Woman dies because she's got
Wonder Woman dies and like Lex Luthor like pumps her full of kryptonite,
something like that. Yeah. Like,
and then Superman's like in exile.
Yeah.
Like recharging above the earth.
Comes down to save her.
And like total. Got comes down kryptonite. Like a total meteorite, and then he's like, and then just stabs. He's in like his proper like total mechanized battle suit thing, yeah. And he just like total stabs him with the spear.
Then Brainiac turns up.
Yeah.
And he's like, what have I done? Yeah. So good.
The game is like total dog shit.
The game's rubbish. Yeah, like I played like 5 minutes of the game. I was like, oh, this is bad.
It's free to play on the Xbox now.
Really?
Yeah, like you can download and play it free on the Xbox, yeah.
Did you ever play the City Heroes game?
I didn't play City of Heroes. I played Champions Online, which was amazing.
I played a wee bit of Champions Online. You recommended it to me.
It used to be like subscription based, obviously, like and when it first came out, but they changed it to be you could buy bits and pieces rather than paying a subscription. They put like loads of stuff in like a microtransaction store, and I played tons of Champions Online because you literally could build like any hero you wanted, but I remember going back to it when it was like. You know what I mean? You could buy things, buy cosmetics and buy things to support the game rather than a subscription fee. And like my hero that I had made was like locked because some of the things I had used, like costume things and like power things I had used to make my hero. Because I had made like an electricity based hero and some of the powers and some of the costume things were now like locked in the cosmetic store, so I couldn't play my like max level hero.
That's devastating.
And I was like, that's bad.
That is bad.
But it was a really good game up until they introduced, and it had all these cool locations. Like it had, I think there was like a moon base and like a.
That's cool.
A big massive metropolis kind of city, obviously, and like, what was the other one? There was like a tropical island.
Oh wow.
Where there was like all these like animal people and like a cool game, but ruined by. Microtransactions and stuff.
As these games
seem to be doomed to become these days. Yeah.
Like, I remember I played that, and I did actually enjoy it, but it's like, I don't know, MMOs aren't really my thing.
Nah.
You know what I mean? I find them very difficult to get in it.
Yeah.
And I played a wee bit of the City Heroes one when I was a lot younger, because I remember, like, seeing that advertised and thinking it was, like, the coolest looking thing I'd ever seen. Then when I finally had a computer that could run it, like, to actually get that and play it was, like, so cool. But even then, I was, like, I played that. And the one time I really properly remember playing that, I went into the game and I ended up, like, meeting up with some random people and starting to, like, just go through missions with them. Not really knowing what I was doing, because we're still quite young. Yeah. I was like, I have no idea what's going on here. Fighting some people, not being very good, because everybody else is like such high level. And then they all left me in the middle of like a hostile city kind of thing. So I was just kind of like wandering around trying not to get into fights.
Yeah.
And then like I ended up using some sort of weird like portal device thing that I'd been given. And I ended up in like a weird disco.
Right.
Like some weird like neutral zone disco
thing. There was one of them in Champions Online as well, like a chill out zone. Yeah.
And I was just like, this is odd. I don't know what's happening here.
Oh man, I want to play Champions Online now. It's so cool. Like I say, ruined by all that crap though.
That's always the way with these things. Microtransactions are just the worst.
Because like DC Universe Online's free to play on the Xbox One with microtransactions obviously, and Star Trek Online is coming to the Xbox
One. You liked that, don't you?
It was good, I played the like 30-day trial of it, and it was good. I think it captured quite well, because there was the game obviously, but they did these things, they did like episodes, so like each week they would release what was essentially a new mission.
Okay.
But it was structured like an episode of a show.
Okay.
So you would go and you would do like an away party and you would do like a ship battle and like a bit of diplomacy. And like the way the game was actually structured was really cool. Obviously there was like a lot of freeform stuff as well. And like flying, it was one of the few things, especially because it was an MMO with like third person action-y bits. But like piloting your starship was actually quite cool as well, which is obviously quite difficult when you're balancing all that stuff. You've got to fly Starship, but also we've got all these other elements to the game. It's not just like a space flying game.
Yeah.
But no, that was quite good. Yeah. Again, I think it's probably been like total hobbled by, if it's coming free to play, it's probably been total hobbled by like microtransactions and stuff as well.
Like, oh, you want the coolest chip? Well, you gotta shell out the big box.
Yeah.
75 pence and you can have a...
Yeah.
What, who's... What, wait, did I ask you the artist one? Who's your favourite writer now?
Ooh. I like... Who do I like? Who...
I'm not going to have an answer for this when it comes back to me. Oh, no.
I like Geoff Johns from the DC side.
Okay.
Because he did some of my... Like I say, like Brightest Day and stuff, he's been responsible for some of the coolest stuff. Can I say, like... Who else? I like Warren Ellis.
One else good.
Yeah. He's one of my favourite authors. Not even in comics, like, just across writing, as well, like, across novels and stuff as well. Don't know.
You're a big Alan Moore fan.
I do like Alan Moore.
I mean, who isn't he? Like, which comic book fan is
that? Kind of, I was going to say Alan Moore, and I was like, does that kind of go without saying a bit? Yeah, I think Alan Moore, definitely.
If we're talking comics, we have to talk Alan Moore, and I'd variably Frank Miller.
Yeah.
Because have you not read, like, everything Alan Moore written?
I've read almost everything he's written, yeah.
Have you read, like, the, was it, like, was it Swamp Thing he did as well? Did you read all that?
I read Swamp Thing.
Really?
Yeah, there's one thing I haven't read, and it's his weird, like...
I thought you'd read that!
I've seen bits of it.
Okay.
I've read bits of it.
Okay. The weird, like, the, what is it, The Lost Girls?
The, like, weird,
the weird porn thing,
like,
that he wrote.
Yeah.
Yeah. Odd guy, Alan.
The weird, like, child porn thing.
Yeah.
No, but they're adults. They're the fairy tale kids, but they're grown ups.
Mm.
Wink. Yeah. Yeah. No, obviously he's like probably, I don't know, probably like
the best.
The best.
The best most comic book writer.
Iconic comic book writer, isn't he?
Yeah. When you just, all you need to say is Watchmen.
Yeah.
You're done.
Which is like king of graphic novels, isn't it? It's like, yeah.
I learned my lesson. I remember I used to go out with this girl who, this goes back to what we started talking about, right? Who said she was like a nerd.
Oh, such a nerd.
And she was not.
Look at me wear these glasses.
Right? There's a reason I said I used to go out with her, right? She was like, she was not. She liked Game of Thrones, is what that meant. And that is nothing these
days. Game of Thrones
come
is
on.
Like so mainstream.
Game of Thrones is like the biggest show on TV. But basically she was like, oh, but I want to get in it, sort of thing. And I'm like,
look, fair enough.
That's fair enough. Yeah. If you do.
Hmm.
The person I'll go out with now has said that, but then has kind of went back on that.
So I know,
like,
you, no,
it's
you know
fine,
what?
I'm not that bothered.
Yeah.
But that's fine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you aren't that interested in comics, good, at least you've told the truth. And she was like, no, I want to get into that sort of thing. And,
just lying again in your pants.
And then, well, maybe. but I think I was maybe part of the reason here. Because
right.
I basically was like, oh, you should read Watchmen.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, that's a mistake. Because you should not recommend Watchmen to somebody that is getting into comics. That should be recommended to somebody who's been reading them for years.
Yeah. You've been reading comics for years. You read Watchmen. What do you mean you haven't read Watchmen yet?
Yeah,
read Watchmen, it changes everything.
Yeah. Because I've started doing that with, like, people at my work who are reading comics. They're like, I'm recommending stuff, like entry level,
like building
stuff
up,
them, you know what
yeah.
I mean? Before I could hit them, throw Watchmen at them.
Like a comics, like, spirit guide.
Yeah.
Like when you take, like, peyote for the first time, you need someone there.
I'll hear them talking in the background, and they'll, like, mention comics, and then they'll, like, look at me, and I'll just be like, I'll nod, like, yes, buy that. Or I'll shake my head and be like, no, it's garbage. Like, they'll not do it.
Yeah.
It's quite funny. But yeah, Watchmen is like intense.
Oh yeah.
But it's great, but it's the kind of thing that you do need to know a lot about comics to appreciate to its like fullest degree. You know what I mean?
Because it's to get all those kind of reference points and get exactly what it is that it's like taken on. You know what I mean? Because that's the thing with Watchmen. It's very much like a criticism.
Yeah, it's like a critique.
Of a lot
like
of,
a deconstruction of the genre.
Of a lot of stuff.
And you can't eat.
If you don't know anything about the genre, then you can't appreciate it.
Watch the genre.
That's true, yeah. Totally true. But yeah, Watchmen is like the grand old daddy.
Yeah, it's the same if you had never, like, you know what I mean, if somebody who had, I don't know, who had never watched a film before, you're not going to, like, say, well, the first film you should watch should be, like, I don't know, Inception or something like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, well, no.
Yeah.
It should be, like, just a normal film.
Just go and see something.
Just Star Wars average. Or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you read any of the before Watchmen?
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
Is it any good?
Nah, not really.
I remember I have it, and I remember
it's all very
looting at the first page, in the first one,
and just being like, nope.
Nope for me,
because
it was very like, I felt the like.
Which one was it?
I think it was like a Doctor Manhattan one. It's like literally the first chronologically one you should read, the release or whatever. And I was like, the first like couple of words basically are just so like, we're trying to be like Alan Moore and we're not. And I was like, nope, not for me.
Nah, they're
not. She's not done it.
Not that great.
For sure.
I think because they even do that thing where they try and like integrate like text as well, like, you know how in Watchmen they do all that stuff with like letters and photos and like all that kind of stuff. They try and do that as well, and it's just like.
No. It's just like,
because
it reeks of like, we're trying to do this, but we're not like as doing it as artfully or masterfully.
And the thing about Watchmen is, like, all these ones are preoccupied with like their like avenging. You know what I mean? And it's like the whole thing of Watchmen is like that's coming to an end.
Yeah.
To do that's the whole thing with Watchmen, and it's like to say. Oh no, we're going to do prequels where they're like crime fighters and stuff like that.
Defeats the purpose completely.
It's like, that's not what Watchmen was about, you know what I mean? It's
funny but sad.
Yeah. The best and craziest comic books writer, definitely.
Totally. Just when you see him as well, it's like so weird looking.
I saw, what was it in relation to? I saw a picture of him recently. I think he's written something.
Some like
recently?
Scathing indictment of the Conservative Party or something like
that. I don't know. Yeah. He's written another song about like like the Tories or whatever it was he did last time. What was it in really? He's written something else. He's like written a short film or like a pilot for a TV show or something, I don't know. And I saw a picture of him and he's like in this tree. And he's got this like massive beard and like,
of course he is.
And I'm just like,
because he probably loves
like
this.
Me. You are something else.
Do you know he could be quite good at writing like a Doctor Who episode?
Yeah.
Like if anybody could.
Yeah. Like a good Doctor Who episode.
A good Doctor, not a bad like nowadays Doctor Who episode.
Nah, I definitely think he would be decent at something like that. Yeah. It's just they wouldn't have let him anywhere near it with a 10-foot barge pole.
Nah. Him and like Frank Miller, like the two, like, you can't let these people near like other people.
Frank Miller
is a dangerous man. I read an article a few months back that was like, it was this woman who was writing, basically being like, when I the conceit of the whole article was essentially Frank Miller made me love comics and now he makes me hate them. It's like the whole thing.
You're like, fair enough.
No, that's, I could see how you would feel that way.
Yeah.
So bizarre. Like, that's the thing. It's like, when did he go insane? Was it like 300 was when he went insane, right?
I reckon he's probably always been insane.
He probably has always been insane.
When has he started, like, displaying signs of insanity.
Because you like you look at a thing, I don't know, like it goes, there's like clearly periods in Fragment, like you have like Year One and Dark Knight Returns, where it was great.
Yeah.
Even though you could look back at, not Year One, I think Year One is genuinely amazing, but you look back at like Dark Knight Returns, there is an overhyped element. Because there are parts of it that are rubbish. You know what I mean? There's like, it's very dated.
Yeah.
It's very like, you know, hateful of young people and like, you know what I mean, youth culture and women. You know what I mean? And like minorities and stuff like that. But it is good. I'm not saying it's all bad. I mean, those things I just said make it sound like it should be all bad. Yeah. But it isn't. But then you have like other, like you have like,
what's the one he did Sin about? What's the one stuff? He did about the superhero that goes
Holy Terror?
That's it.
Which was originally
meant
a Batman.
To be a Batman comic.
Holy Terror Batman. Yeah. Holy Terror. That was full insane.
Oh yeah, that was like I'm crazy.
Yeah.
Hello world. I'm totally nuts.
Like in case you did not realize now, I'm insane.
I can't believe that they've given him Batman again.
Have you read any of
I've
Master,
not read it.
The Master Race.
But I cannot believe that they've let him write a Batman comic.
Maybe there was some sort of clause.
Maybe they couldn't stop him.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like it's the only way that he could have got away
with
it.
I cannot believe that that's happened, though.
And
the fact that it's called Master Race.
It's like, do people not realise? Like, do the executives not realise? Like, do they just sort of look, we know they do, but do they just look at the numbers and go, they all point up for good job, Frank, you know what I mean? Do they not look at the actual content or reviews of the content, you know what I mean? Or what people on message boards everywhere are saying about the content?
This was horribly offensive.
You know what I mean? As like a black lesbian, I hated this more. This like shook me to my very core. You know what I mean? Because as well, you've got stuff like Sin City, which in theory is good, but is not. Because I mean, it's fine. Sin City's fine. It's not great. It's very like, it's what like a child thinks a noir film is.
I think that's a lot of...
Drawn in crayon.
I think a lot of his work up like that, though. It's like a child thinks, da-da-da-da-da, whatever, you know what I mean? Because he's clearly got a child's mind, like there's something...
To a point, yeah. A crazy child.
A crazy, like, xenophobic, child. Sexist child, yeah.
Probably in a lot of, like, Ritalin and stuff like that. Yeah, I really like xenophobic child. I like the spirit as well.
Oh, God.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Did you watch the Sin City sequel?
No.
That's bad. So bad.
Because he co-directed Sin City, right?
He co-directed it.
Yeah. And he fully directed The Spirit.
Yeah. I didn't think he co-directed the first one. I think he, like, produced it or something.
Oh, did he?
Because Robert Rodriguez directed it, mostly.
Yeah, I think he directed he like had a bit of it. Yeah.
But the second one, he like co-directs, but he directs most of it.
Yeah.
And he's also in it a lot as well.
Gross.
Like he has about three gratuitous cameos.
How's his Stan Lee now, eh?
I know. Because there's a bit where he's like, it doesn't even make sense as well. There's a bit where he's in the bar where Nancy dances.
Right.
But then there's a
just
bit...
like leering at her.
Yeah, but there's a bit later on. Because I think he says something to Marv or something like that. But then there's a bit later on...
Tony Stank. I've got a package for Tony Stank.
Oh, God. Where he's on a TV show that Nancy is watching. Look, that's plausible. But a denizen of this strip club are not an actor.
No.
Who appears in TV shows all the time.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure, like, I can't remember because I kind of half watched it as I should correctly have done.
It's more than it deserves.
But I'm pretty sure he says something on this TV show and Nancy, like, takes meaning from it and decides to.
Because she's like, oh, you are the guy in my strip club.
Yeah, but he's basically, so I trust you. He says something like, it's kind of like something that has like a point to it, and she like takes that point right. and is like, this will provide me with agency.
Yeah.
Whatever crazy Brad Miller said on this TV show I was watching. Yeah, just bad. She also got Levitz in it. He's alright.
That's a shame.
That is a shame. The craziest bit of the whole film is when there's a prequel story in it that's the prequel to Dwight. Oh. Like the Clive Owen character.
Okay.
But the Clive Owen character in the prequel story is played by Josh Brolin, much older and bigger than Clive Owen would ever be.
God. Much, Clive Owen wishes he was Josh Brolin.
Much more giant, square jawed, broad, and American, and like growly than like Clive Owen was, because something is to do with like he needs to change his identity then,
right? Yeah,
and he like gets like a plastic surgery to look like Clive Owen,
a new face, new shoulders,
yeah,
a new voice,
yeah, it's just different.
Yeah,
still got those red shoes though.
Yeah, that's how you know.
But that's the thing at the end of the thing, because they didn't actually get Clive Owen to be in it.
Right,
they just make him look like Clive Owen in so much as you can make like. Some sort of golem like Clive Owen, you know what I mean? They do some sort of weird like prosthesis with his nose and his chin, and they give him like the Clive Owen hair that looks bizarre. He's wearing the trench
coat. Like on Josh Brolin.
On Josh Brolin!
So you make this like Franken Owen in the end.
Yeah. But, oh yeah, terrible. Like. Such a bad film. So bad.
I just remember, to go back to The Spirit briefly, the scene where like Samuel Jackson's like in that like SS uniform and stuff.
Yeah, I've like, never seen that. It.
Have you not seen it?
Because you told me to so never bad. Watch it. Yeah.
It's really bad.
Yeah, I know he's in that uniform.
Yeah.
Bizarre. What's his name? Is it like some?
He's the octopus.
The octopus. Yeah. Is it like decoy octopus or something? Well, no, like
he's called the octopus. And what does he say? He gives this like really weird explanation. He says, they call me the octopus.
Oh, because I've got three hearts.
And because I've got eight of everything. It's like, and he says it in the, like, obviously, like, really suggestive way.
Yeah.
Like, they call me the octopus because I've got eight of everything. And it's just like, sick.
That's sick! How would that work? You pee and it's just like everywhere. Like.
Yeah.
But like one of those, like, water guns you get when you're a kid that like when you like the first time you use it, it's fun because nobody realizes it fires sideways as well.
Yeah.
And you like fire at somebody and they're like, oh you got God. Me. It would be like that every time you pee.
Yep.
Everywhere. All walls covered in just urine.
Yeah.
You've not thought of this through Frank Miller, but then again it
makes no sense.
Frank Miller. Yeah. What's your like do you have a favourite like comic book?
Oh god.
Is that too broad a question?
That's quite a broad question.
Do you have a favourite non-Marvel DC comic? Or like run, you know what I mean?
I don't know. Again, that's like a lot of stuff. How about you?
I'm trying to think. I quite like I'm very fond of Why the Last Man.
That's a good answer.
Which is a very good run. That's just really good.
Yeah, Why the Last Man is a good answer.
It's really good, and I'm like, I really wish they would make it in a TV show.
Yeah.
Not a film, as they keep threatening. It has to be a TV show.
How could you possibly?
Because it would be so like progressive.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It would be one guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That would be amazing.
That would be an amazing TV show.
And a monkey.
Yeah. One guy and his monkey.
One guy and his monkey.
Yeah. Why the Last Man is a good answer. Yeah, I'm inclined to steal that now. I'm trying to think. It's difficult actually to remember sometimes.
I like that. Like, there's one, I should remember what this is called. I don't know if you've read it or not. It's by that like Swedish artist, Jason. It's like, I Killed Hitler or something like that.
No.
And it's like, it's this one issue, it's one long issue about this, and it's set in like a world of like anthropomorphic animals.
Right.
And this guy is like he's like a dog.
Okay.
He's a man. And he's like an assassin, he's like a hitman. And he ends up, like, getting contacted. He, like, hates his life.
Yeah.
And he gets contacted by a guy that's built a time machine, and he wants him to go back in time and kill Hitler. And he goes back in time, and he, like, basically fucks it up.
Yeah.
And Hitler gets in the time machine and goes to, like, the modern day. And then he has to, like, end up waiting through the rest of time to get to meet back up with, like, his romantic interest, essentially. It's actually really good. It's, like, quite, like, interesting, like, wee heartwarming story.
Oh, that does sound interesting. And is Hitler, like, an animal too?
Hitler's another dog, yeah. It's weird. It's bizarre.
That sounds cool.
Hitler isn't he that big of...
What's that called?
I think it's called I Killed Hitler. I'm going to look it up just so I'm not, like, making that up. I'll let you talk about your favourite comic.
I can't think. Why the Last Man is a really good answer. What else?
I have another couple that I quite like, but I'm trying to help. Yeah, it's called I Killed Adolf Hitler by Jason.
Nice. Just one name.
Yeah.
What else?
Because, yeah, like, that's, like, the arch now. Like, that's the guy.
Ah, right, okay. Yeah.
But yeah, that's good.
I don't know.
There's another one I read. I know for a fact you would hate this, though. But I like it. It's called Day Tripper.
No, I know it. Yeah, it's cool.
Have you read it?
Yeah, it's really
did
cool.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
I thought you would
like it. Yeah.
I thought you would I thought you would totally hate the message, like the heartwarming end message of it.
Yeah, no, I didn't like the message. But I thought it was like
the actual conceit. I thought it was a really interesting.
I really liked the, like, format of it.
Yeah, because it's it's a bit like this Brazilian writer who, like, and basically each issue is, like, a different point in his life. And he, like, dies at the end of each issue. Because his job is, like, he writes obituaries. So there's an obituary at the end of each issue for
him. That's really cool, yeah.
I really loved that when I first read it. I was like, that was so different. Yeah, what was it? It's, like, Gabriel... Ba?
Gabriel Ba, yeah.
And someday Moon.
Yeah.
Is it Fabian Moon?
Fabian Moon.
Fabian Moon, I think that's Gabriel right. Ba.
Yeah. No, that's a really interesting comic, yeah.
Just the hook, it's quite cute.
Yeah. No, I liked it. I did think that the...
I knew you wouldn't like the last one. Like, I knew you wouldn't like that at all.
Yeah, but I think the actual thing was good, yeah.
Yeah, not to spoil it if anybody has listened. Yeah. Go and read that, it's good.
Yeah.
Then tweet us your like or dislike of them.
Yeah. I don't know. I liked For My Sins, I suppose, in terms of, like, I liked, like, Nemesis. Up until the end.
The end's fine until it's just too specific an end.
Yeah.
Like, that letter the guy sends at the end is too specific.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's, like, not, it's just not possible.
Not possible at all, yeah.
But I like Nemesis. It's difficult.
You liked the first Kick-Ass, didn't you?
Kick-Ass was good, yeah. The original, like, that's the thing with Mark Miller. He just gets too big for his boots and does, like, two sequels, you know what I mean? It's the thing, Kick-Ass was great because, again, it was, like, obviously sending up superheroes and stuff. Like, we've just been talking about Watchmen. Like, you're never going to do a better job than something like Watchmen does, you know what I mean? And Kick-Ass is obviously in a similar vein. It's, like... try to be a real hero, like, what does that actually mean, and all that kind of stuff. And it's just, like, it was good, and it was funny, and it was, like, and I suppose that was what makes it different as well, because it was, like, quite good humoured. That was good. Like I say, number one was good, the rest of them were crap, and then, like, the Hit Girl spin-off that I didn't even bother reading, and
Who's your favourite, like, character to sort of read? Like, are you going to include, like, Marvel and DC stuff in that? Like, do you have, like, a character that you like reading more than others?
I think the obvious answer is probably... I think the obvious answer is probably, like, Batman.
Yeah, I love Batman.
But aside from that,
What's your favourite Batman story?
Or stories.
Did you read... You did, eh? You read Year 100?
Yeah.
That took mad.
Yeah.
Like, what is it? Like, Paul Pope or something? Yeah. Somebody Pope. That makes no Some sense.
Pope. Yeah.
So weird.
Like, weird, creepy.
Like, I like the idea. Like, yeah. Oh, he's still alive. And then they kind of explain that he is, how he's still alive. But then it's like... But nothing really happens as well. And
he's, like, been... Just as... He's been using, like, the Lazarus pits and that, hasn't he?
No, I think he's got, like, some sort of nuclear heart.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Oh, my...
It's not really explained, like, to a great extent. He's still Bruce Wayne, though.
Yeah, it's the same guy.
And he's got... But he's got, like, some sort of... Or, like...
Oh, okay.
Like, artificial heart. I couldn't remember.
I thought it was something to do with the Lazarus pits or something. I don't know. Favourite Batman story? Death in the Family.
Oh, the way Jason Todd.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Or.
See, I prefer.
Battle for the Cowl.
Battle for the Cowl's good, yeah. I prefer the, like.
Things like Hush and that. And
Hush is good.
You know what I mean? All these other.
Do you like really terrifying Arkham Asylum?
Yeah.
Grant Morrison's.
Yeah. Terrifying. See, all that Arkham stuff. Asylum. Like, there's too many good Batman ones. I was trying to think of ones that. It's obvious, but
yeah. I like it. Like, you know, the when you were talking about Death in the Family there, I like the version of that that's done in the Under the Red Hood movie, like the animated movie, where they simplify it a lot better, because the actual story in Death in the Family is ridiculous. Where he's like in Afghanistan and the Joker becomes like the ambassador for Afghanistan, tries to gas the UN. Weird. It
doesn't make any sense.
But like it's a lot cleaner in that Under Red Hood's really good.
Yeah.
Like that movie is.
I think their animated stuff is like on point usually, isn't it? It's like
Because you're a big fan of Batman Beyond as well.
Yeah.
I love Batman Beyond when I was younger.
Batman Beyond was so cool. I got like loads of the comics for a while as well.
This is how good the Scott Snyder run is. The Batman Beyond suit is in the New 52 run. It makes like a cameo appearance. It's cool. So cool.
Yeah.
But
I like to go back to your question of characters, obviously I like Batman.
Mm-hmm.
I really like Deadman as well.
Oh yeah.
Like really obscure, like
just waiting for Doug Jones to
to
finally get that movie greenlit.
Yeah. No, I really like Deadman, like I've read a lot of it. And his stuff is really like it's actually quite Doctor Strange in a way, which is obviously a good comparison to make, because the Doctor Strange movie's being made, obviously. Because, like, it's a lot... He goes to, like... He gets his power... Like, he dies, obviously, and as a ghost, goes to, like, Nanda Parbat, which is, like, this, like, Buddhist Shangri-La-type place, where this, like, Hindu goddess or whatever gives him his powers, and it's got this really weird mystical... And then he comes back and, like, does a weird kind of, like, Quantum Leap-style solving crimes thing.
That's
you
weird.
Know, like, jumping into bodies and, like, right and wrongs thing.
That's bizarre.
So it's, like, a really weird juxtaposition. And interestingly enough, those two characters, he actually spends... There's a lot of dead man stuff that, like, crosses over with Batman. Like, he's quite... There's a lot of times in the comics where he'll go and, like... It's like, funny moments in the comics where he'll go and, like, jump into, like, Robin to, like, tell Batman something and stuff like that.
That's
it's just, like, really... Like, kind of, like, light moments like that that are quite funny. But I really like that character as well. And I like the kind of... It's a very, like, a lot of, the whole dead man idea, it's like a literal ghost that, like, possesses people.
Right.
Like, there's quite a, like, kind of campiness to it. You know what I mean? And a kind of, like, golden agey thing to the, you know what I mean? It's like that kind of deal. And I think that quite appeals to me in a lot of ways. Just as a palate cleanser sometimes. But I've got, like, a whole bunch of, like, really old ones that are... like really funny.
See, that's quite, because that's like interesting that that's like one of your favourite things, conventions, because like my favourite thing is like really like superheroes doing really like mundane workaday things. Because like obviously it goes without saying like Batman's probably my most read anyway. Probably my favourite. But I really like him. I have a like a weird love of She-Hulk.
Yeah.
Like I really like She-Hulk. I know this about you. And like in her like run, there's one that's bad that I'm not gonna remember who wrote it. But there's a run and it's like...
she's a lawyer, right?
She's that's a lawyer, right. Yeah. And it's like, a lot of the issues are like...
just her doing,
her doing lawyer stuff. And then like, maybe there's like a wee fight breaks out. Yeah. And she's She-Hulk for it. But it's like, I love that run. It's like so cool.
Yeah.
I think it's called like Law and Disorder. It's just bizarre. It's like weird, like interest and stuff. There's one I read recently as well called it, like it's an Ant-Man one. Called Second Chance Man, which is like about Scott Lang, and a lot of that it's like it's him moving to Miami to try and like be with his daughter, and he tries to set up like a small business.
Yeah,
and that's like the whole that's the like concern of the whole run.
Yeah,
is him trying to set up this security business, and he like there's this like these couple like Z-grade supervillains try and like take him on because they think he's Hank Pym, and he's no, and he's like I'm not. Or I think one of them thinks Hank Pym, the other one thinks he's like Eric O'Grady.
Okay.
And he's like, no, he's dead.
Yeah.
Like I'm none of these ones, and then they're like, oh, I came all the way to Miami. And he's like, well, do you want to work for me? So he like teams up with these like villains, he employs them and stuff. It's like so weird, but I love that in comics, like weird. Because like you get kind of like particularly in like Marvel stuff, you get like two kind of you get one where it's all very like serious and loads of like high octane actions happening.
Yeah,
and then you get that kind of thing where it's just like normally stuff's going on. Yeah, and I always prefer the like lighter normal rubbish that's happening.
I read a bit of Irredeemable Ant-Man.
Oh yeah,
which was like that was kind of like early
that's
stages.
Eric O'Grady,
that was that's quite good. Again, it's like that was more kind of like comic booky. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was like because that's all. Obviously, he steals the suit and then goes on to become Ant Man and all that stuff. Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Deadpool as well.
Yeah.
I know that's quite like a popular answer these days, but I was a fan before the film.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love like the Cable Deadpool run.
Yeah.
Like the first issues there is like so good. Up until the last, like maybe. Six issues when Cable's not in it anymore and it's just Deadpool and somebody.
Yeah.
They're a great team up, yeah. We've spoken about this when we spoke about Deadpool. Like, that would be a great way for the film
that'll, franchise. That'll make the sequel. You know
need
I mean?
A guy for him to play off it.
Yeah.
I read
the Deadpool core when that was
when
that was out. That was a like mental comic.
Because
it's like he goes through like different dimensions collecting alternate reality versions of Deadpool, like Lady Deadpool and like Kidpool, Headpool, and all this like
bizarre
insane
stuff.
Yeah.
Run the steam.
How long have we been talking?
Enough time, probably. Enough time. I would say. We're definitely over an hour.
Yeah.
Do you want to wrap it up?
Yeah.
Cool. I feel like we didn't really get anywhere, did we? We didn't meet a climax. We just kind of were like, and we've run out of things to talk about.
Should we like shoehorn in a little bit about like, oh, what do you think comics will be like in the future? Like
both iPads. The same.
I suppose it's just the way people consume them that'll be different.
Yeah.
Potentially.
I mean, I already read them on my phone. A lot.
Yeah.
Makes me annoyed my phone's not bigger, but
yeah,
that's like I love the size my phone is until I'm reading a
for
comic.
A phone yeah.
And then I'm like, well, you want a tablet, Alan? And I'm like, no, I don't want a tablet, I'd rather just a phone. I know, it's fine.
Yeah, okay,
yeah
I agree,
good. So yeah, that's been us kind of like nattering on about comics for about an hour. If you look, let us know what you guys like. We're always open to reading new things anyway. particularly like non-Marvel DC stuff as well. Like, I like reading cool... Marvel DC stuff, but if there's some,
if you've
like,
got some cool kind of independent
indie
stuff,
comic, I'd be up for checking out. So yeah, like, let us know. Like, email us at whatsnowpod@gmail.com with questions, comments, suggestions for shows.
If you write an independent comic,
oh yeah,
send us a copy. We'll review it and we'll talk about it on the show.
Yeah, and yeah, that'd be awesome. Yeah, you should totally
We'd
do
love
that.
To do that, yeah.
Yeah. Even if it's, like, non-finished. Yeah. If it's, like, a work-in-progress thing, let us know. Like, send us your Tumblr link. You could also tweet us at What's Now Pod. Send us, like, again, questions, comments, anything like that. And you could write... You can't write. You can write us a letter, but we've not told you to regress, so don't do that. You could send it to nowhere.
Write us a letter,
then read it the next day, and if you still feel it applies, then send it.
Good advice.
You can subscribe to us on iTunes, where you could review us and rate us there. And you can subscribe to us on the darrow.org.uk SoundCloud. So that's been What's Now, guys. Subscribe for What's Next.